Well, hello everybody, it's your friend Manoli here, back with another episode of Manoli's Musings, after a bit of a hiatus here. Yes, I'm aware. It's been a minute. I went to Europe for 3 weeks. That's when I recorded my last show, was before I left. And I said I was going to take my microphone, and I did take my microphone, and I lugged it all through New York and Greece and Montenegro and Spain and Italy, and I didn't pick it up one freaking time to record a podcast. I got pulled aside twice in the airport security line. They're like, "What is that?" And I'm like, "It's a microphone." And they're like, "Oh, okay, go ahead." So I went through all that and I didn't record an episode. And then I got back a month ago, June 12th, and now I'm only recording an episode. So I know. What are you going to do? You know, it's a free podcast. You know, I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to try to do better, okay? But I've left you for longer than longer periods in the past. So, you know, this shouldn't be a shock. Anyway, I'm a little annoyed today. And you're like, "Oh, this is the sound of everybody saying, oh, today, Manoli, you're a little annoyed. Really? Really? What a shock. What a shock." And to that, I say, you clowns. You know, nobody ever cuts me a break. You know, it's always, they always got something to say. They always got to poke fun at me. I don't know what it is. You know, it's a good thing I got a good sense of humor. That's all. It's a good thing I could take y'all's crap. But yeah, I'm a little annoyed today. You know why? Because I got sunburned. And I didn't do anything different than I haven't been doing. You know, people always say, "Manoli, are you sure you're green? You're so pale." And I'm like, you know what? You know, what do you want to see? My birth certificate? You want to see this 11-letter last name that I've had to live with my whole life? Yeah, I think I deserve the title of Greek American at the least. Can you give me that? Please. Goodness gracious, you got to calm down. We're 2 minutes in. You're at an 11. You got to... You can only be at like a 7 at this point. Okay, I'm going to calm down. But I'm annoyed because I got sunburned. And you know why? I don't know why. That's why I'm annoyed, because I didn't do anything different. I've been doing a few minutes on my front, a few minutes on my back. Go get in the pool. Get out of there. I don't spend a lot of time out there because I know what's going to happen. I know I'm going to get sunburned. And I didn't do anything different today. I did the same routine, the same thing. A little bit on my front, a little bit on the back, I flip over, you know, just like a hamburger. You flip it over and you do the other side, and then, you know, I cool off, and that's it, that's all I do. And for some reason today, the sun said, screw this guy, he's been getting away with it no longer, I'm gonna burn him. But you know what annoys me? I wouldn't even be that mad. It's like, if I'm gonna get burned, can I at least get burned evenly? You know, is that too much to ask? Because I look in the mirror, and it's my upper chest, you know, kind of my shoulders and the front of my arms. And it's like, how? You know, my face is fine. You know, it's a little red, but nothing major. And then it's like, I don't understand. It's like, I purposely, when I was on my front, I put my arms up so the front of my arms wouldn't get burned. And now they're burned. And then it's like, my back is not burned at all. It's like, well, how is that possible? It's like, I didn't do anything different. And when I was in the pool, I wasn't in the sun. I had my back. I was sitting against the wall with my back to it. You know, like completely submerged. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's like, clearly it's not meant to be. It ain't meant to be. Hang up the hat, Manoli. You know, everybody has their things. It's like, you know, my thing is, you know, could I have been a little taller and a little less pale? But, you know, I don't want to complain about my life. My life is beautiful. I love my life. I even sang a song about that, my senior recital. Could you believe it? I love life, so I want to live and drink of life's fullness, take what it can give. I think it's how it goes. By a person named Manazuka. I never heard of them before, never heard of them since. I love life. That was in high school, not college. What am I talking about? But yeah, I don't get it. It's like, can you burn me evenly? Anyway, what I think it is, I think I would have been too powerful had I been taller and less pale. I think that's it. You know, it's like in video games, they have to nerf something. They have to nerf a boss because it's too difficult. That's what they did with me. They're like, this guy would have been too powerful. He would have taken over the world, which I think would have been a good thing. But, you know, maybe not. And they said, you know, we got to nerf this guy. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah, you take the cards that you get, that you're dealt, and you deal with it. That's what you got to do in life. That's what you got to do. You know, you can't help the cards that you deal, but you can help how you play them. That's it. That's it. Yeah, I tried, and you know what? It's not meant to be. So, you know, I guess I knew that's what's gonna happen. So anyway, moving along. Where have I been? You know what? I'm gonna talk about this podcast. I'm gonna talk about my trip. And I'm going to try to talk for about a half hour, because I've had episodes where I've talked about trips and they've gone over an hour, and I think that's too long. It's harder for me to talk, it's harder for me to edit it, it's harder for you to listen to it, so this is probably going to be broken up into parts. You're just going to have to deal with it. I'm going to try to do a quick turnaround so I can get through this. You know, all this great material, it's good material, don't get me wrong, I have stuff to talk about, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, oh, Manolo, we get it. Your life is wonderful. And, you know, I don't want to be that guy. But at the same time, this is a great experience, and I want to talk about it. You know why? Because my name's on the damn podcast. How about that? How about that? As he leans into the microphone. Oh, by the way, Alan, my friend Alan, listening. I got this booth thing that I ordered it while I was in Europe. When it got there, I didn't know what the hell it was. It looked like a bunch of foam. And then my mother's like, did you order something? I don't know what that is. And then she's like, I think it's some kind of podcaster booth. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my friend Alan told me to get this. So it's supposed to help the sound. I don't know what it's supposed to do. It doesn't, you know, it's not attractive, but I guess it'll work, maybe. I don't know. Sometimes I don't think I can be helped, but I appreciate the effort. But yeah, I left on May 24th, early in the morning I left. That was a Saturday. And I flew to New York City. And, you know, we decided to spend a couple of days in the old Big Apple, because you don't want to miss your flight to Europe. That's a tricky one. You know, there's a lot of things that could go wrong, and then you're screwed if you miss your flight to Europe. So we figure, all right, 2 days in the city. How bad could it be? And you know what? I like the city. I'm going to kind of yada yada through this, because I've talked about the city on this podcast, I think, more than once. I enjoy it. You know I like it. So, yeah, I did the thing. You know, I walked around. I walked around a lot. I walked up and down Times Square, Fifth Avenue. I walked past a building, and there was this group of people waiting outside. And I'm like, what are they waiting for? Like, they were waiting in line to get in. And they're like, oh, Nick Jonas is in there. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I kept walking. I got nothing against Nick Jonas. Yeah, that was... I got nothing against him, but it's like, at the same time, it's like, really? I mean, what do you think's going to happen? Just to get a glimpse at this guy? Seriously? I don't know, the Jonas Brothers, what are you going to do? But yeah, I walked up and down Fifth Avenue, I walked into St. Patrick's, never been in there before, very pretty cathedral. I walked into the Cartier store, I thought they're going to start charging me just for breathing that air. I mean, you should see the diamonds in this place, my golly, I mean, it's ridiculous. It'll blind you how much diamonds they got in there. Or other precious gems. Beautiful store. I didn't buy anything, of course, because I'm not quite on that pay level. But, you know, maybe someday I'll be able to stop in there and say, hey, I want that. I want that watch. Give it to me. And they're going to look at me. They're going to say, you sure about that, Mr. Manoli? I'm going to say, yeah. I'm going to pay in cash, too. How about that? Anyway, the big things that I did were I went to a baseball game. I got to see my beloved Los Angeles Dodgers play, or a team that said they were the Dodgers, play. I haven't seen them play in 8 years. The last time I saw the Dodgers play was the 2017 World Series Game 3. That was in Houston. And if you know anything about baseball, you know that that was the year that the Houston Trashtros decided to steal World Series instead of winning one the normal way. They decided to cheat. They used cameras to steal the signs, and then they banged on the trash cans in the dugout to tell the batters what pitch was coming. And, you know, that's the last time I saw the Dodgers play. You know, and they did all that crap, and they had nothing. What happened to them? Nothing. They didn't even get fined. I don't know if they got fined at all. They might have got fined, like, you know, slap on the wrist, freaking Rob Manfred. Didn't do anything. They should have taken away that championship. It shouldn't be counted. They should have been, the team should have been disbanded, if you ask me, sons of. But yeah, I don't hold any, you know, I clearly have moved on. Anyway, that's the last time I saw the Dodgers play. So I was really excited to see my beloved team play in New York City against the Mets at Citi Field. I had my jersey on, my Ohtani jersey. I was with my father and my young brother, Leonidas, 9 years old. And we also went with my cousin Tula, you know, because, you know, like every other Greek, I got cousins in New York, in Astoria. My cousin Tula, she went to the game too. She drove us to Citi Field. It was very nice. Yeah, we had a great time at the game, but my Dodgers, oh my golly. That's why I said it was a team that called themselves the Dodgers, because they played like complete ass. It was ass. They sucked. They did terrible. It was ridiculous how bad they were. They got off. They started fine. They were leading. I think somebody hit a home run. It might have been 1-2-0. I can't remember much, but then they just went down to the dump. Down to the dumpster they went. Ohtani, Mr. Once in a Generation, Once in a Century, Mr. MVP, Mr. Amazing, Mr. You know, sole member of the 50 home run, 50 stolen base club, you know, Mr. Amazing, struck out 3 times. And ugly strikeouts, like he was swinging a tennis racket. It was horrible. Freddie Freeman, Mr. World Series MVP, 0-4. 0-4, Freddie Freeman. This is what they do for me when I go see him. Defending World Series champions, they can't score more than 1 or 2 runs. Tony Gonsolin, you could tell he was hurt on the mound. He pitched badly. You know, but I had a good time at the game regardless. I ate like a king. You know, I like baseball no matter what. You know, hamburger, hot dogs, you know, ballpark food is all very good. A big beer. Citi Field's a nice park. The crowd around me was nice. Classy bunch of people. Good seats. I'm not complaining about the game. I had a good time at the game regardless. But, oh, man, the Dodgers, they played like crap. But the Mets played well, too. The kid who was pitching for him, you know, he pitched 8 innings. He pitched very well. And you know, I got to see Edwin Diaz, you know, closer, who's on my fantasy team. I hate the fact that I got to see him pitch against my Dodgers, but he has a good entrance when they pull him in. They play that song of da 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 ya da 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 ya da 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 da. I don't know how it goes, a trumpet song, and it's a pretty badass entrance, I have to say. Even though it was against my Dodgers, I could admire the entrance of the man. So, you know, it was a fun time. You know, I enjoyed the game, even though the Dodgers stunk. And that just means I'm going to have to see him again sometime soon. I think Leo's been to 3 or 4 Dodger games, and he's never seen them win. So they're going to have to win for Leo. I mean, if not for me, do it for Leo. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I digress. The other big thing was I was looking at the Met Opera, and I was like, well, what operas they got going on? It's the end of their season. There wasn't a whole lot going on. One of them was a John Adams, who's a modern composer, opera, Anthony Cleopatra. I'm like, I'm not seeing that. I don't like that. And the other was Zala, made by Richard Strauss. And I like Richard Strauss. I like, I guess the German way to say it would be Richard. I don't know how to say it. Anyway, I like Strauss, I like Elektra, I like The Woman Without a Shadow, Die Frau ohne Schatten, I like Ariadne auf Naxos, I like all those operas. Never liked Salome, never appealed to me. I don't like it, I don't like the plot. I don't think the music's that great, to be honest with you, and the production didn't look very good, so I'm like, I'm not seeing that. But the other one was La Boheme, which is the classic Franco Zeffirelli production. You know, Zeffirelli, if you don't know who he is, he directed the classic Romeo and Juliet with Olivia Hussey and the other guy's name, I don't remember. The girls in my class said that he looked like Zac Efron, so I guess that. Anyway, that Romeo and Juliet, he was a very famous opera producer, opera director, and he made this production of La Boheme that's just gorgeous. Just a gorgeous production. I was looking at the thing. I was like, well, you know, I'll go, but I don't know if my father's going to want to go, or my mother, you know, because my mother's seen it before, and she saw it when we did it in Charleston. My father saw it in Paris, that horrible Moon production that sucked. He saw it when we did it in Charleston, which is a wonderful production. And I was like, I don't know. They're probably not going to want to see it again. I said, look, they got La Boheme matinee. He's like, oh, we got to go. And I'm like, whoa, Mr. Puccini fan over here, my father. Where'd that come from? So what am I saying? So we saw La Boheme, the matinee, the beautiful Zeffirelli production. And what do you know? The beautiful production, you know, The act two was the highlight. You know, that's the famous part. That's the big Paris Latin Quarter street scene. And it looks, I mean, I have pictures of the set. It's just gorgeous. And you can look it up and watch it for yourself. You know, it's a very, very famous, you know, I think the 70s, they started doing it. They do it almost every year because people love it. And they love it for good reasons. Beautiful production. They have the donkey pulling the toy car and the horses pulling Musetta's carriage. It is grand opera. I'm sure some group out there complains about that. They don't want to be pulled in the carriage. It's like, oh, please. People with too much time on their hands. It's like, hey, it's better than being a bottle of glue. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what do you think's going to happen to them if they're not going to, you know, if they're not going to work at the Met? They're working in the air condition. They're on stage for like 30 seconds, and then they walk off, and they go back to their stable. You know, I think that's I think for a horse, that's a pretty good gig. You know, it's better than being, you know, Jell-O. Isn't that what Jell-O is? Isn't it like horse hooves or something, like gelatin? I never ate that crap. I mean, it's like, what is it? What the hell is it? It never appealed to me. I'm glad I never ate gelatin. My point is that I think they're fine, okay? I think we can lighten up a little bit, you know, with the horse stuff. They're fine. They're having a good time out there. You know, they're like, they don't want to be doing that. It's like, well, did you ask them? Did the horse say, I hate this job? Did they go on strike? Did they complain? No, you got too much time on your hands. They look fine to me. You know, I'm not a horse expert, but my sister did ride for a while, and I know people who like horses. They don't seem to have a problem with it. So, you know, whatever. I digress. But my point being is that, and the singing was pretty good. You know, musically, it was a pretty good performance. The tenor was good. He was from Ukraine, or the Ukraine, I'm not making fun of that. I'm not making fun of the Ukraine. I'm making fun of this kid in my school. About high school, he came in. And, you know, he was just one of those kids that people just didn't like. I hate to say it like that. But people just didn't, you know, people just couldn't get along with him. You know, he was a kid, like, you tried to be nice to him, and then he was still a jerk. So it's like, you know. But he would always correct people. He's like, he was off that background. He's like, no, it's the Ukraine. The Ukraine. So this tenor was from the Ukraine, Mr. I'm not going to say your name on the air, but oh, people who went to my school will remember this kid. You know, just a weird kid, you know, not very nice. You know, it's like, some people, it's like, you know, if they're weird and they're nice, it's fine. I could take weird and nice. I could take nice and normal. I could take whatever. It's like, if you're weird and you're mean, it's like, it's kind of hard for me to have sympathy for you. I'm sorry. He wasn't the only one like that. It's like, I'm sorry, you know, if you're going to be weird, can you at least be nice about it? Like, I'm weird, and I try to be nice about it. I try to be cognizant of that, and I correct people all the time and act like a jerk. Wow, Manoli, you really... I haven't thought about this kid in years, but anyway, he's from the Ukraine, and I say that with complete seriousness. Good tenor. And the other guy who was great, he was a Romanian guy, he was a basso, playing Coline, which is the role I learned. You know, I was the backup, the cover, the understudy for. He was a very good singer as well. I appreciated what he did with it. You know, having learned it, I appreciate it more. And having been in the opera, I appreciate the opera more. It was never a favorite of mine. And I'm not going to say it's like necessarily a favorite of mine now. But the older I get, the more I like it. And having been in it, I appreciate it a lot more. It was a good performance. And the house was, it was full of people. It was packed, a matinee on a Sunday. You don't think, like, that's a big, you know, you think maybe the house was packed. People came out in droves. Families were there. People brought their kids. And it's like, come, imagine that. Imagine that. When you do an opera with good music, you don't do some horrible postmodern crap production like On the Moon or whatever ridiculous planet. Yeah, I saw one. It was Rigoletto, Planet of the Apes. I mean, what the hell is going on? And you know, you do something that's worth seeing, people come to see it. What a novel concept. Opera companies, can we please just go back to normal? I've had it with these productions that are just horrible, just sickening. Sick stuff goes on the opera stage nowadays. You do something worthwhile and people show up to see it. So there you go. Well, you know, that's my soapbox. I got to get off of it. I haven't even got to. I said I was going to yada yada through New York, and look what I'm at, 20 minutes in. So yeah, I left New York. a good 2 days in New York. Ate at Carmine's. Carmine's is great. Go to Carmine's. Lots of food, big food, nice Italian, famous spot. Anyway, the flight to Greece, you know, from JFK to Athena was fine. I don't remember much about it. My strategy for for flights like that has never changed. It's always, you know, have a scotch before you get on the plane and have at least two more. And then by that point, you're usually out of it and you kind of get knocked out and you sleep through the rest. I didn't sleep that much. You know, I was flying, you know, in the back, you know, with the, you know, it's like a dang, I don't know. It's flying is such a necessary evil. You shoved back there like sardines. At least I was on the aisle. You know, I tried to at least do that. What did I watch on the flight? I watched Jurassic Park. Classic. One of my favorites. You know, it's the same thing. You know, you watch a movie. At least, thank God, you have that. And then they bring out, they come out with the food and beverage card. I ordered two scotches. They give them to me. I think I might have had one more. I don't know. I'm not a rowdy drunk, you know. I try not to be a drunk at all. But, you know, like on the plane, I just go to sleep. I'm not one of those people that you see now on, you know, Twitter. They go crazy. I'm not one of those people. I just go to sleep. I'm on my own business. I sip on my little scotch. I go to sleep. That's it. That's my strategy. But yeah, so I, you know, they ask you, do you want the chicken or the pasta? And I'm like, I want the pasta, please. Thank you. I'm not gonna eat your chicken that tastes like it's made from tires. yeah, it's always the same thing. If it's a mezzaluna ravioli with cheese and some vegetables, and they give you a little piece of bread and a little blondie, and that is your dinner. Enjoy it. You get what you pay for. It's fine. It's fine. I know people don't even eat on the plane. My father's one of them. I don't think he eats on it. I tried not to eat, but I got hungry. You know, it's free food. It's hard for me to turn it away. And I slept a little bit. I woke up. I watched some Survivor. They had Heroes versus Villains on the plane, which is one of the best seasons, season 20. And I always, you know, I have to say I'm very excited to see some of the castaways from that season that will be on season 50. Colby Donaldson from the... originally from the Outback, he will be back on. Stephanie LaGrossa, originally from season 10 Palau, will be back on. Who else? Suri will be back on. I've seen a lot of Suri. I don't know. I mean, five times for Suri, you know, might be a little much, but, you know, she's usually pretty good television. So, you know, she did get screwed the last time she played. So, yeah, I mean, she's a fan favorite. I get why she's back on. But I'm really excited for the one and only Coach Benjamin Wade, you know, hasn't been on Survivor for quite some time, and I think it's, I always like Coach. He always brings good television. I know a lot of people that don't like Coach. It's like, how can you not appreciate Coach? He's so ridiculous. You can't, if you don't take him seriously, how can you just like him? He's just a big joke, and it's a fun to watch. He's fun to watch. I find him very entertaining. But yeah, Heroes versus Villains is a good season. Yeah, I watched an episode of that. Then that the first episode of Heroes versus Villains is really good because it was a 2-hour premiere, and you get to see so much character stuff, and I love that. That's what I like Survivor. I like the characters. I like the interpersonal dynamics. I like that stuff. Anyway, and then I land in beautiful Athena. Oh, beautiful Athena. And what did I do in Athena? I landed, I walked around a little bit. I saw the first theater that Maria Callas performed in, the very first one, now named after her. I went and took a nap. You know, Athena's nice. You know, I've been to Athena a few times. I like Athena. You know, we spent 4 days there, which is more than usual. And, you know, I mean, I enjoy all 4 days. It was a very enjoyable 4 days in Athena. You know, we did the thing. I didn't go to the Parthenon this time. I've seen it, you know, I think 3 times. I've seen enough. Not to say I've seen enough. It's a you know, historic landmark, whatever. But I've seen it. You know, I didn't feel the need to go through all that. You know, get up early, wait in line, go up those steps. I've done it, okay? Yeah, I've seen it. Other people in the group went. One of the people in our group, you know, he proposed to his girlfriend there. Very nice. Congratulations to them. That's a great place to do it. If you're looking for ideas, do it at the Parthenon. Why not? The Acropolis. Do it in Greece. There's no better place. Greece is so beautiful, so romantic anyway, right? We stayed at the Hotel Academia. A beautiful hotel. I liked it. They had, you know, busts of Alexander and Plato and quotes all across the room from Aristotle. They're a nice boutique hotel. You know, these hotels in Europe are small, but nice hotel. It had a rooftop bar, which I always like, but it was odd. They had, like, sushi. And I'm like, I don't want sushi in Athena. I want Greek food. So I didn't eat there, but I hung out there. Nice view of the Acropolis from the roof. Beautiful view. You know, the first night I had the ouzo, it was delicious. You know, you love ouzo. Oh, ouzo's great, isn't it? And the second night, I forget what I did during the day. I think I slept. Oh, yeah. That's the day I slept like 13 hours. I basically slept the whole day and went to dinner. You know, that's a hard adjustment coming from, you jump ahead 7 hours from New York to Greece. That's a tough one. That one is tough. It's easier to come back. It's a lot easier to come back. You know, but jumping ahead 7 hours, I had such weird sleep. I slept at one point, I slept that day like 13 hours, like I'm saying. And the next night I slept like 3 hours. But that night I went to, we went to a place, it was up some stairs, and they had all these restaurants up there. You know, I had a nice piece of fish. They had some dance in there. It was a very nice place. I had, yeah, it was good. And there was a guy there, I swear, he looked just like Larry David. He was like the Greek Larry David. He looked just like Larry David. But the problem that night was I overdid it on the, okay. We met another group at this other hotel called the Hotel Grand Britain, which is a very nice hotel in the middle of Syntagma Square, which is very nice. And we had a drink there, and I had a scotch there. And then I got to dinner, I had ouzo. And then for some reason, I thought it was a bright idea to go back to the hotel. And instead of sticking with one of the things I already drank, I had a Moscow Mule. And that was a bad mistake, because we got up early the next day. Not super early, but, you know, pretty early, because we were going to the island of Aegina, which is a short ferry ride away from Athena, about 45-minute ferry. But I was miserable, man. I was... Yeah, I would have been fine until I got on that ferry, and it wasn't that the ferry was rough, it was just, you know, there's motion, and, you know, your inner ear balance is getting messed up, you're looking at the horizon, it's moving. It wasn't rough, but it was a tough ride, and there's no fresh air. It was all enclosed, and I think that was the problem. I felt bad. You know, I didn't feel good at all. There was a couple of things going on. I think I overdid it with the alcohol, unfortunately. You know, I was on vacation mode. It'll be fine. And then you shovel it down. You're like, it's not so good. That ferry didn't help. And then I caught a little something on the plane because my nose was running, and which is very weird to be happening in the middle of summer in Greece. And my throat was sore. So I think I might have caught a little something, nothing bad. It wasn't anything major, you know, a little, but I was not feeling 100% for the first few days of the trip. Let's just put it that way. You know, I was fine. You know, I still did everything. I wasn't bedridden, but, you know, it was a little something. I don't know what it was. You know, these planes are like freaking petri dishes. You know, you get on a plane and it's germ city, man. You got people coughing, sneezing, hacking, breathing, you know, eating, doing whatever else. People walk around barefoot on the plane. Never understood that barefoot on the plane you're gonna walk. I digress. Aegina is a beautiful island. You know, I wanted to go because I wanted to see the monastery and the relics of Saint Nectarios. And Nectarios is a saint who died in 1922. You know, he lived a, I don't know how old he was when he died exactly, but, you know, he was, you know, late 19th century, early 20th century saint, one of the most beloved saints in Greece and of all the Orthodoxy. They made a great movie about him called Man of God. I highly recommend go watch it. It's a beautiful movie. The story, just the things that this man went through and the humility and the grace and the patience. I wish I had just 1% of the saint's his patience and his tolerance and his love for his fellow man, despite what they did to him, and they slandered him badly. It's a terrible story, but it's a beautiful story at the same time. How he never lost faith, and he never tried to stop tending to his people, taking care of his people. And I think it's a beautiful story. Even if you're not, you know, super into that stuff, I say watch it regardless, because it's an amazing story. So having watched the movie, having read some of his writings, having read, you know, his biography, I wanted to see, you know, where he was. He established a monastery on this small island called Aegina, very close to Athens, so I wanted to go there and see it. And it's beautiful. I mean, the monastery is beautiful. It's nuns, so it's a ladies' monastery. Obviously, there's a priest there because there has to be a priest for the services and the chapel. But I say go. If you're in Greece, go to Aegina. Go see it. Go see the. You could see where he lived. His little cell, very humble. His few belongings. You could see where his tomb was initially was. He's been moved since then, but where he was initially buried, his tomb. You could see his tree that he planted, his well that he used to draw the water from, that now there's holy water. It's just the sereneness, the peacefulness, the atmosphere. It's a very holy place. I mean, you could tell. And you know, I'm going to say, you know, they say that the faithful, if you put your ear to his tomb, you can hear him. You can hear movement and knocking, like his staff that he used to walk around with, like, almost like a tapping. They say that the faithful can hear it, and I'm gonna say it. And if you think I'm crazy, I'm gonna tell you what I heard, what I saw. It's a miracle. I heard it. I heard some movement, some rumbling. Then I heard clear as day, just a tap, 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 tap. And the saint is, they say that the saint is blessing you. He's praying for you. And I think it's, I mean, what can I say? What can you say about that experience? You experienced a miracle. And the people go there, and, you know, my whole family heard it. It wasn't just me. People go there, and they go to hear this, and they pray for it. And I'm not saying I was worthy of it. I'm not saying anything. I'm telling you what I heard, what I saw. I experienced a miracle, and that's it. You know, you can believe me or not. Say what you want about it. I don't know. I'm not going to sugarcoat what I experienced, what I saw, my experience with the saint. I thank him for it. And that's it. So it meant a lot to me. They're building a church there, one of the biggest Orthodox churches that you'll see in Greece. A very, very nice church. Beautiful church with mosaics. And it's just a gorgeous sight. And the island is beautiful. You know, obviously, it was a very humbling, sober experience for me to go there to see St. Nectarios' tomb and where he was and all that stuff. But they built a church there, and they've done a good job with it. So it's worth seeing, you know, if you're interested. I say go see it. Don't wait, because it's beautiful and it's a great experience. So there's that. You know, that's pretty personal stuff that I'm going into. It's not a joke. But the island's beautiful. Aegina is gorgeous. we walked around, and Leo loves to pet the cats. One of them, you know, he was fine, but one of them, you know, tried, you know, snapped at him, and he was fine. It didn't do anything to him, but he stopped trying to pet the cats after that. There's cats everywhere in Greece. There's cats all over the place. I don't really think cats as a pet is a concept there, because there's so many of them just roaming around. You know, people feed them, whatever. They take care of them. They take care of the pests. We had beautiful lunch by the bay. The boats were there, fresh seafood, lavraki. You know, that's the Greek Mediterranean sea bass. You know, there's bronzino, maybe octopus, appetizers, tarama salata, delicious. The town's very nice. And the people there were so excited for anybody to come by. There is the fruit stand. I don't even eat fruit. I don't really like fruit, but I stopped and talked to the people. My Greek is okay. You know, it gets better when I'm there. I was surprised at how well I did. And I was just talking to this lady, and she was just so excited to be sitting out there by the water. It is hot as you know what. It's crazy hot. And but she's so happy to be talking to people, so excited to be selling her fruit. I had to bring my dad over there, because I wasn't going to buy anything, just to, you know, because I don't eat them. I'm like, oh, well, they have cherries. My dad loves cherries. So I brought him over there, and she's just smiling ear to ear. I told her my family's from Chios. She's like, oh, you're from Chios, blah, blah, blah. Just so excited. I mean, the people are so happy. It's just beautiful people in Greece. They're just beautiful, beautiful people. Beautiful places. Just a beautiful place to be. So that was a day trip to Aegina. We went back. The ferry was better on the way back. I'm not gonna lie there. It was great. You know, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I went. it was important to me. I'm glad my family went along and the group went along and everybody was happy to do it. You know, it was my idea. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was my idea and people liked it. And I'm glad that I went. So it was a great thing. Good day trip to Aegina. That night, I don't remember exactly what we did. I know we had dinner somewhere. But anyway, you know, I tell you what, that hotel I was at, the Hotel Academia, they have one of the, oh, I know where we went for dinner. I'll get to that in a second. But they have one of the best burgers. And, you know, it really good burger for Greece. You know, it's like, oh, I'm in Greece, I'm going to get a burger. But my mother was like, dude, you got to try their burger. It's really good down there. And so I did. And let me tell you, that burger was better than most places in America. It was delicious. I give the Hotel Academia all the credit because that was my lunch set. It was my lunch one of those days, and it was delicious. But later that day, we went to this place in Athens. I got to say the neighborhood was a little rough to get there, walking there. But the restaurant was very nice. They had live music, and the band was tearing it up. They were excellent, excellent band. They had really good Greek soul food. I had uvetsi, which is very good, which is big chunks of you know, beef or lamb with orzo and, you know, some tomatoes, and it's really good. Really good stuff. The band tore it up. I danced. My father danced, and other people in our group danced. It was an amazing dinner in Athena. Probably the best dinner that we had there. And the band, they played, they played music from all across Greece. They played, you know, mainland music, they played music from the islands, music from where my family's from, they played Cretan music, they played it all. They did an excellent job. And one of my friends, Nikos, who was living in Charleston up until recently, he met us for dinner. He came to dinner. I got to see him again. He was living in Charleston for about a year, maybe over a year. I'm not sure how long exactly. He moved back to Greece. So I told him I was there, my friend Nikos, and we hung out for a little bit. He came to dinner with us, and then he took me up this hill, and we walked up, and it was a very popular spot. People were there, and a beautiful view of Athena at night. So I thank you, Nikos, for taking me there. It was a beautiful view. It was good to see you. Good to see you again. I wish you were still in Charleston, my friend, but it was good to see you. If you're listening to this, he's probably not. But if you are listening, Nikos, I appreciate seeing you, hanging out with you. It was a good time. It was good to see you. But the view from the hill was amazing. You could see the Acropolis all lit up at night. You could see the Olympic Stadium. You could see all of, they call, in Greece, they call the wider Athens area, they call it Attica. That's like the region. You could see all of Attica. It was amazing view. And then the next day, I went to the Maria Callas Museum, which is new, and you know it was pretty interesting. You know, they had some nice props and stuff. I say props, you know, costumes, things that she wore, part of her hair. I thought that was a little odd. It had a little glass thing. It was Maria Callas's hair. I'm like, that, you know, I love Maria Callas. She's my favorite singer ever. But even that's a little much for me. But no, it was good. When you first walked in, the first floor was like, it was kind of cool. They had like scenes from different operas, like The Room, and it had like either video or audio or her singing. So the first one was Norma, my favorite opera. It was like you're in the woods while she's singing Casta Diva, the beautiful aria by Bellini, amazing composer, one of the most famous arias, and nobody did it like Maria Callas, of course. She's singing Casta Diva in the woods. It was beautiful. And then the next room was Tosca. It was Scarpia's office, and she's singing Visa d'Arte, which is again famous for aria. I love Tosca. That's one of my favorite Puccini opera by far, one of my favorite operas period. So sitting there watching that and having it a surround sound is nice. The room there was after the Zeffirelli production of Tosca, so Zeffirelli Puccini, there you go. You know, it's like poetry, it rhymes, in the words of George Lucas. And then the next room was Traviata. And they played the one for Portugal, her performance, Sempre Libera, the very difficult, famous cavaletta that Violetta sings. That was like her apartment. So I like that they did that. That was kind of cool, having that set recreated, kind of immersive thing going on. And then the last room was her at Juilliard, which I love listening to the master classes that she taught there, her wisdom and her approach and her humor. Her personality shines in those master classes. And if you haven't listened to it, just go listen. If you're at all interested in opera, Maria Callas, singing, whatever, go listen to her teach the students at Juilliard. It's just, it's a delight. Then the next four had like you know, costumes, dresses, you know, posters, clothes that she wore. It was nothing, I have to say, it wasn't anything groundbreaking. You know, it was nothing I didn't know already. But it was cool to see, like, vintage posters, vintage props, vintage costumes. Here, saw some interviews I'd never seen before, you know, with her or about her, some quotes I'd never seen before. So there was some stuff. Handwritten letters, that was interesting. You know, I spent probably an hour and a half there, and that's all you need to do. You know, it was like €8 to go visit. You know, I mean, if you're at all interested, just go see it. It's within walking distance to everything. Just go see it. If you're interested. You know, how bad is it? You can see her scores. I like that. That's what I like. You could see her notes that she wrote in her scores, you know, whatever opera it was. So that was fascinating. And then later that day we went to Vouliagmeni, which is like the Greek Riviera. We went there that night, and we went to Lake Vouliagmeni, which was formed after a rock formation like fell into the water. And I guess it's salt water, but there's a lake there. We didn't go swimming, but we saw it, and it was very nice. Very nice to see. This area of Athens is very nice. They call it the Greek Riviera. There's nice towns there, nice hotels, resorts. People have their yachts parked out there. It's beautiful. And we went to the Temple of Poseidon, these ruins, and it was gorgeous. The sun was setting. It was really windy, I have to tell you that. You know, it wasn't that hot there because it was the last week of May. So, you know, it doesn't really get that hot until like June, July in Greece. So the weather was actually very fair. But it was really, really windy up there because it's on a hill overlooking the water facing the west. And it for the sunset, it was gorgeous. Me and my brother and my father and the whole group went. It was a great time. The sunset was beautiful. The view of the bay is just gorgeous. We were supposed to go one of the last times I was in Athens, but they had fires going on and we couldn't go because the whole area was on fire. So it was, I'm glad I finally got to go see it, you know, see the ruins. You know, I find the ruins interesting. It's interesting how the Greeks were able to build stuff like that back in the day. I mean, just this ancient stuff is, I find it very impressive. You know, I'm not, you know, that's part of my heritage. You know, the ruins and the structures and the buildings and the mines that put that together. I'm very proud of it. You know, I feel very close to it. So going to Greece is always a beautiful thing. We had a nice dinner that night. This place is called Gotipi. the funny thing is that it's by the water. It was really windy, right? And this was after the sun had set. It was freezing cold with the wind. And we got in there. Nobody wanted to sit by the window. So, of course, me being the, you know, having to take care of the group, you know, I sat by the window. I took one for the team. And then we asked the people there. We're like, can you please lower the window? Like, they had a windscreen. We're like, please lower it. Good Lord. It's freezing out here. And they did. And it was a very nice dinner. That place is nice, but oh boy, it's not cheap. That place, it's a nice place. You know, that's what we say. It's like the Greek Riviera. And it's not cheap over there. But I tried to order octopus and they never brought it to me. So I what did I get instead? I had a lot of apps. There was a group that we travel with a lot. They gave me some of their food, which is very generous to them. So shout out to Jimmy and Cookie for sharing. And yeah, but trust me, I ate well the trip. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. I got my money's worth. I sure did. All the food. I had some wine. You know, it was a beautiful thing. Some appetizers. It was a beautiful night. Right on the water. Beautiful sight. And that was the last time in Athena. The next night we got on the cruise ship. So I think this is a natural stopping point. I said 30 minutes. It's been 45. But, you know, I went a little over. You know, sue me. What are you going to do? I hope you enjoy listening to it. Greece is beautiful. Go to Greece, man. Don't wait. People are like, oh, I want to go. Don't walk. You run to Greece. Run to Elada. It's gorgeous. You will not regret it. Go visit Greece. Go visit. Don't go to Disney World. Don't go to these other places. Go to Greece. It's the best place in the world. That's how I feel about it. But anyway, that's going to wrap it up. I hope you enjoyed. I'll be back with more. Tell you more about my travels, my excursions, my vacations, all of that stuff. And yeah, so that'll be it for tonight. Enjoyed it. I hope you did too. And I'll see you soon, okay? This is Manoli signing off. Goodbye.